What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning, everybody. How are we all today? The sun is shining, the weather is sweet, and I feel like party season is upon us. Everybody on my Instagram is putting up their Christmas trees, and I'm sorry, I know I'm a proper Scrooge, but is that even a thing? I feel like it is a bit too premature, but please let me know if you disagree on that. I don't even put a Christmas tree up, so, you know. Anyway, welcome to my show, What the Health. I'm Gabby Allen, and I spend my time helping women get stronger, healthier, and feel more confident in their goddamn selves. I've been a PT for rather a long time. It'll give away my age, so I won't tell you today. But the reason I host this show is because, selfishly, I get to meet an abundance of guests who specialise in different topics across the wellness world. I've learned so much, and it's basically a weekly hour of inspiration and growth, baby. Today's show is no different. Later, I'm going to be meeting Joelle Fontaine. What a name, by the way. Founder of At Your Beat Studio. And Jamie Keeble, founder of Heck Sausages. But first up, we are joined by the ever so wonderful Emily Killick, founder of Embody Training and three-time Gold Commonwealth Powerlifter. Hey, girl.
Hi, Gabby. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here as well.
You look so glamorous.
Oh, stop it. Thank you. I try.
So, for some context, me and Emily actually met in the gym. Didn't really look at us lifting girls. And I was looking at her because she was training with a fella, and I was like, oh my God, she's like so strong. And then we ended up having a little chat, and then I followed her on Instagram, and it turned out that she's like this big time powerlifter. So, talk to me. How did you get into powerlifting?
So, do you know what it was? I initially joined the gym to lose weight, and like the standard, you don't really know what you're doing. I kind of just like plodded on the treadmill for ages, was kind of boring, didn't really know what I was doing, hadn't really learned about strength training yet. And I feel like people hadn't really when I first started either. So like when I was 16 or something, I'm now 25, it was a bit like, it was just not really the done thing, but now it's so much more popular, which is great.
Yeah.
So I started to lose weight, and then I was like, do you know what? It's so much more empowering to feel strong and to like actually do something that makes you feel good, not just look good. Like,
yeah.
There's so much more to it, isn't there? I don't know about you, but I'm just like, it feels so much better for it.
100%. It's actually funny because that is literally how my fitness journey started.
Really?
Back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to just go to the gym and just run for an hour on the treadmill, and then see that I've burnt like 400 calories, and I'm like, great, go home. And I started to lose a little bit of weight eventually, but it wasn't really any different change until the weights got involved. So yeah, but strength training compared to powerlifting is two different things, hon. What is powerlifting for context for the audience?
Of course. So I started strength training and I was like, okay, I'm actually like stronger than I kind of thought I would be. Like, I was kind of naturally strong to start with, if I'm honest, so that helped, and I kind of then just fell in love with it. So then to go to powerlifting, so obviously I have competed, and I've done, there's three disciplines to powerlifting, as you obviously know, but for people listening, there's squats, bench and deadlift, and you have three attempts at each to go as heavy as possible, basically. So you're trying to work on your one rep max, and then of course that gives you a really nice goal as well between your competitions if you're constantly competing, so that you can kind of work towards beating your previous PBs. So that's what it's all about.
So you are the England squat record holder, aren't you? What is that?
Yeah. So that I held when I went to, I traveled to South Africa with my like last competition. So that's where I kind of then got that record, and it kind of happened by mistake as well. So I just kept qualifying for the next one and was like, whoa, this is cool. So it just kind of happened. It kind of got on a roll.
So what is your PB then for a squat?
167.5 is my most ever. That actually wasn't the record, though. I then did that in the gym after that. So it's like the pressure on a competition day as well. It's so different to training in the gym with people watching you, and like it just has to be on it on the day. So sometimes I've actually done better in the gym than I have at competitions, which sounds a bit crazy as well.
I mean, just take the win, girl. That is incredible.
Thank you.
That is literally 110 kg heavier than me. What the actual frigging fuck?
Than your body weight.
Yeah. That's mental. Yeah. Well, that is amazing. Well done, you. So, you're a trainer, right? You have your own, similar to me, like client base, and it's called Embody Training.
That's right.
So, do people come to you to learn to powerlift, or like, does it influence how you coach people?
So, I have a real mix. Like, I have the general like, I don't know what you say, like mums who are just coming to lose weight or feel a bit better about themselves and have general fitness, improve their general fitness, sorry. But then I do also have people that are learning to powerlift. And of course, when I get that client, I'm like, so much more exciting.
Yeah.
Obviously, I love all my clients, but to have someone that's got the same passion as you definitely is a bit more exciting, isn't it? When they're kind of, it's something you're really into and that you love. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we've definitely, I mean, even as we just said ourselves, our journey's gone from running on the treadmill to strength training. But it, you do see, I mean, I'm trying still with some people these days, like people are still obsessed with cardio, but there has been a transition from like just doing lots of cardio in the gym to now people, women actually wanting to be stronger. Like I love it when you go into a gym and you see girls like yourself and I'm like, yes, girl. Like the other day in King's, so we met in King's gym. I walked past this girl and she was unbelievable. And I feel like it's a nice thing to like appreciate people as well when you're in the gym. Like I literally went over to her and I was like, you are amazing. Like she just looked so strong. And then, and I was like, you know, back in the day, you weren't seeing women like that on the gym floor, especially in places like King's where it's like full of bodybuilder men. You know?
Yeah. It can be scary, can't it? But then you soon realise that when you're in there, it's actually not scary at all. Like the thought of it is so much more intimidating than the reality. And you know what I always think as well is that I feel more like judged if I were to walk in a pub than if I were to walk into the gym. Like in the gym, everyone's just so in their own zone, aren't they? It's just not how you think. And it's so nice when you do go in, like you say, and you see loads of other women who have got that confidence.
I love it.
Yeah. It's the best feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, I love that. But I love also that you've just said that when women come to you and they want to get stronger and power lift, that's like you're like, ooh, this is like a little you know, almost like a little guinea pig that you can make.
Super exciting. Yeah, because that was me when I first started. I was like, what do I do now? So it's
did
so
you
nice
have a coach as well?
Kind of. They like helped me through at the very start, and then I had a more specific powerlifting coach when I was going to like the Commonwealth, for example. I needed someone that was really on what they were doing. Yeah, and she was great. And also a woman, so that was really cool as well, that it was another lady that I had for that too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I am actually now having a PT, but and he is a guy. But you know what it was? It was I needed a PT in the gym because I wanted to be doing something in person to because I do everything online for other people. Like I feel like it's my escape when I go to the gym and it's just nice to have somebody else to just tell me what to do. Do you know what I mean?
You know what you're doing, but it's nice to have someone like, do this now.
I mean, he doesn't do that. He's like, come on, Gabby, surprise the muscles. And I'm like, fuck you. But I even charge my phone now when I go to the gym and I don't even have it on me. And it's just so nice to have that moment of just like, you know, killing myself. Anyway, aside powerlifting, do you do any other kind of training to complement it? Do you do Pilates? Do you do yoga? Do you stretch?
I make sure I'm always stretching. I should probably do more Pilates, if I'm honest, because it's always something that I'm like, oh, I've got to do that. But you know, when it comes at kind of like, it's not my primary goal. So it becomes last on the list of things that I train, essentially. But that I still completely appreciate that there are so many benefits to Pilates, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I love Pilates whenever I go to it, but I'm the same. I feel like I should find more time to do these kind of rebalancing sessions. However, when I've been training so much anyway, I'm like, I can't really fit in an hour of Pilates this week alongside the 10 other hours of training that I've done as well. But we will be Pilates bitches one day. Everyone's all over my Instagram. It's either like heavy powerlifting like you or like these like lovely influencers that their life just looks so perfect. I'm like, my life does not look like that. Maybe that's why I don't do Pilates.
Also, together to be Pilates.
Yeah, no, I mean, people that do Pilates look like they have their shit together and I don't have my shit together.
My socks aren't even matching half the time, so no.
Also, have you seen these things on TikTok, these like vibrating plates? What the hell are they about?
Yeah, I've got so many.
You've got one.
And you know when you... But you know when you watch one video and it like constantly comes up afterwards?
So
now my whole feed is just vibration plates and I'm like, no.
But what even are they? Are they like you stand on it and I assume that it just like shakes your calories away?
I think that that's the idea, yeah. I mean, obviously we know that that's not the case, but I think that some people love a trend though, don't they? I think that is part of the trouble. Like they're like, oh, that's something new. Let's try that. It's the next thing almost. Whereas the basics sound kind of boring. Like it's actually quite straightforward, isn't it? To do what you want to do, but it doesn't sound as fun as standing on a wobbly plate, I guess.
Exactly. This section is actually meant to be called Mythbusters. So today on Mythbusters, we're talking about the shaky vibration plates. they do not work. I mean, they may be for a bit of like fun, and they might burn a few calories just by you. Like, I mean, we're burning calories right now, sat down, like doing nothing.
Exactly.
But there's way more efficient, maybe less fun ways to burn calories. So tell me then, what would your biggest advice, fitness advice be?
I think if you put it down to the basics, if we're talking about burning calories, then to lose weight, as we know, like to burn fat, you are going to need to eat less than you expend. So it's literally that simple. But again, it doesn't sound as fun, does it, as standing on something or like doing these weird trends. So that's, I think, why it gets missed. But yeah, that would be my biggest advice, is track roughly, learn a little bit about your calories and your macros, eat lots of protein, and do a lot of strength training, basically, would be my advice for people, really.
You know what? I say the same. I actually wrote a post like this to my members community yesterday. And like, it does sound so simple, but even for myself, like, sometimes it is just harder to get into that deficit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not always easy.
But we know all that jazz. If I wanted to get into powerlifting, where would I start? What is the three top tips if you want to start powerlifting?
Okay, so get yourself, well, there are situations where you can do sessions at home and you can train with like minimal equipment. But if you're going to do powerlifting, I feel like you definitely need to get yourself in a gym where the equipment is there for you so that you can use the heavy weights is number one. So get yourself to the gym with plenty of equipment. I would really get yourself a coach as well. If you were going to actually get properly into it and you were thinking of competing, then definitely would get yourself a powerlifting coach. I guess the other thing is to start just simple, also not going for like one rep maxes every time you go to the gym, because I think that's a common mistake. Like, you go in the gym and you're like, okay, let's get a PB, and even though that's really fun, that's not actually going to get you where you want to be doing that every single day. So you need the recovery, and you need to take it back a step and look at like your RPE and how you're doing, so that sometimes it's not like super heavy every time. So it's planning it out well, which a coach can do for you really as well.
Yeah, I like that. You need to have some sort of structure. It's like running. We've had other running like people on here, and they say don't just go out and try and run a 10k, you know, once a week.
Yeah, exactly.
There has to be different things that you have to, like, different approaches to the training in order to, you know, the overall goal. Do you run? Everyone's running these days. Pilates and running, that's all people are doing.
Yeah, I know. I do. I go through like phases of running. I'm always on it with the gym, but for running, for me, is like something extra that I will enjoy, and like for my mental state. It's not like my, it's not my primary goal to like be really good at running or do anything or specific times. Like, great if I can always run 5K under like half an hour, 28 minutes. That's okay for me.
Yeah.
And then other than that, it's just like to enjoy
Pilates is for some, running's for some, powerlifting's for some. You can't do everything, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on today, babes. It's been so nice
thank
to see you. We definitely need to get that gym session in, so I'll message you afterwards. But Emily Click, everyone, thank you. Have a great
day. Thank you, Gabby.
Bye, babes. Bye. So, speaking of the gym, I'm going to talk to you about this superset that my PT made me do last week, guys. I actually programmed it for a few of my clients, and they have literally written on the community group, who in God's name came up with this idea? And I was like, not me, blame my coach. So, not even your highest weight that you've used for hip thrust, but we're doing hip thrust and we're doing 20 reps with a 2 second pause at the top. 10 reps, then you rest for 5 seconds, and then 10 reps, as I said, 2 second pause at the top. Straight into, oh my God, Coach Beto, if you're listening to this, I could have killed you. Bulgarians, 2 counts down, no pause at the top, literally 2 down and up, 2 down and up, 8 each side, 4 sets. Honestly, if the goal is to throw up in your gym session, get that superset done. Coming up after this break, we are going to be joined by the fabulous Joelle Fontaine, founder of App Your Beat Studio. See you then.
Fubar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you, what's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer, and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
You're listening to to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote, and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online, or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Georgia Harrison, my SIS sister. That's when I thought shit's got real.
Well, I got out, didn't I, with my little earmuffs on and my scarf. And they didn't show that either because obviously they can't put everything in. But he looks at me and he goes, "What the fuck are those?" And he grabbed my earmuffs and he threw them across the New Zealand landscape. I thought, that's a fucking liberty. £3 from Sheen, they were. I was still in my Sheen Queen era.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald.
What would you be advising the Labour leadership to do at this point?
My view is just apologise. I went to the theatre last night. I'm with my wife and family, and as I'm walking, a bloke says very loudly, "John McDonnell, has he paid for his tickets?" I went back to the bloke, said, "Yeah, I did pay for my tickets, and I always do." What that whole ticketing thing and all the free gifts thing doesn't just damage those individuals, it damages us all, because they all think, oh, they're all the same, and we're not.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Hello, we are back in business and I'm joined by the amazing Joelle Fontaine.
Hello.
Founder of At Your Beat Studio. Hello, darling.
Hello.
So, we've known each other for a long time, haven't we?
Yeah, very long. Like, ages.
Yeah, I know.
We're
so old. So, we both used to teach at Block Studio.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember I did your Block Party
class. Which was my, like...
Your creation.
I mean, obviously. It was like Block Party, Block B, all those things.
It was amazing.
It was fun.
And then, well, I mean, we'll come on to that in a second. But yeah, I remember just doing your class and then being like, and then a few years ago, once I came out of Love Island, I was like, I want to get back into dancing. Mm. And then I messaged you and you were like, let's dance.
Yeah, let's just do some privates.
And it was so fun. Mm. And that's the last time I saw you.
That was the last time. I think the last time we did a routine, I think it was to like some Missy Elliott song or something.
It was so good, but my choreography retention was shite then.
You're really good at dancing.
Thanks.
Like, you're so extra, so it just come out like naturally.
Don't know what you're talking about. Right, listen, I know you well, but let's get the audience to know you a bit better.
Okay, cool.
So quick fire questions. Just answer them as quick as you can.
Right.
Yeah. Three words to describe yourself.
Extra, sassy, and genuine.
Yes, love that. Upper or lower body day in the gym?
Oh, upper, because I'm naturally just thick anyway at the bottom. So
yeah, baby, we love that. What is your go-to cheat meal?
KFC.
Yes, yeah. Sexy. What would you get there?
I'll probably get, you could get Mighty Bucket for one, and I'll get two. So.
Can you not just get Mighty Bucket for two?
Nah, that's the annoying thing. It'd be better if they just leveled it up, because then I could probably just not...
KFC, if you're listening,
yeah,
make it bigger.
I try to make them listen by tagging them all the time, but they seem to not be listening.
Okay, great. And what is your workout anthem?
Level Up by...
Level Up. Yes, I love that.
Again. That or something just like Celine Dion, which is really opposite of that, but just have it on repeat.
Okay. Okay, fair. Okay, so let's talk then. So you said that you created Block Party, which essentially is like a dance class, choreography, but like anyone could have done it, right?
Yeah, it's like you just follow along with the teacher, basically.
Yeah.
And there's like some kind of sequences, but they're not so intricate, but it's heavily focused like dance. I want you to look like a dancer. I don't want you to come in doing like with your yoga pants and stuff like that. I want you to actually be like...
Feel cool.
Feel cool. Yeah. Feel like that person. And there used to be like lights, smoke machine and stuff like that. Yeah. So you feel like you're at a club.
You know what? That's actually funny that you say that, because now on, you know, I obviously see dance videos on Instagram and stuff. When I went to dance school, I went to performing arts school. So I was always in like tight pants and stuff. I see these videos now, people are doing like contemporary, but in like all these flowy things. And stuff. I'm like, where was that when I was dancing?
Even I'm like, right, it looks so much nicer.
It does. Like, what were my dancers just thinking? I'm in a slick back bun.
Tight, this thing like this, like thingy. Everyone can see camel toe and everything. It's just like not necessary.
Exactly. No camel toes around here. Okay, so that was Block Party. Mm. Is that where At Your Beat was born?
No, I actually was doing it before. So like, I already started doing At Your Beat, like, because I used to work for another company, another dance company, and I was working at Shoreditch House as well. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I need to do my own thing. After I come back from Slovakia, I was teaching there, and then I was like, I need to do my own thing. And so I just was like, I'm tired of, like, things trying to tell you to be... That was really heavy Beyonce period, yeah? Mm-hmm. When all the dance was like, Beyonce, Beyonce, be like Beyonce. Do, like, what would Beyonce do? And I was like, well, she's a millionaire, you're not, so why are you worried about what she would do? Do your own thing, do things at your own beat, at your own pace. And then I was like, oh, do things at your beat, like, nah, nah, nah. And then I made it, and then but I was still working at Block at the same time, so they were like, I was like, after a while I was like, I have to leave because, you know, I've got my own thing. I just played like I was just lying. I was trying to get more money, and I was like, I've got my own thing, I had no people, yeah, there's nothing going on. And I was like, they're like, create a class then together that you can do, that can collaborate. And I was like, they're really big and new, I'm going to take advantage of the fact that they want to collaborate with this non-existent person. So I was like, yeah, okay, cool, I create this Block Beat, which was the dance version, which was like just dance class but called Block Beat, and then Block Party, which was like that body party, which is what my thing is called. And then that's how it got in there.
Oh, yeah. It's so fun. Yeah. And the classes are always like full to the brim,
exactly,
as well.
And I started with, like, I was a cover person before I started there, and then I was like, then I had like 8 classes a week, just every single, they just gave the classes from the other person to me, so it was a bit of a scam.
Love it.
I was like,
level up, baby, literally, yeah, level up, exactly. level up.
Yeah, and so that's how I did it.
Amazing. Block OGs, by the way.
Yeah, I know, right? The beginners.
Yeah.
The innovators.
So, At Your Beat, though, is the same thing, right? So, At Your Beat Studio is dance classes, right?
Yeah.
So, what does that look like if I was come to a class?
So, the thing is, with At Your Beat, it's like, I always call it, like, it sounds really bad, but it's true, like, idiot-proof, yeah? Like, you know, you've got something for dummies. You've got, like, IT for dummies and things, those books, and so-and-so for dummies, yeah? Right. I started thinking, like, you just need dance for people who feel like they're a dummy in dance. Like, I don't know nothing, yeah? So you come to At Your Beat, and you've got the names of classes, like Video Beat, Strut Beat, R&B, Afro Beat, Lyrical Beat, K-pop Beat. So you just go to what gravitates to you. And each we have the beats are what you go for, which is the dance, and then the body is for the like cardio or strength stuff or toning stuff, so you know what you want to do. And you'll just go in, you have, if you're a beginner, you have Find Your Beat, which is the same line of classes, but just Find Your Body, Video Beat, Find Your K-pop Beat, which means you're a beginner. So we go there, start from the bottom and work your way up. And if you're a beginner, like, you've got nothing, go to Body Party. So it's very easy to kind of go in and kind of, like, just enjoy where you should go.
Yeah.
And then once you find it, just stay on that course. So that's a growth focus, yeah?
So can people, like, come in, and have you seen people actually, like, improve and go from, like, strength to strength?
Yeah, and then I actually say to people, enjoy being rubbish, because unless you plan on staying there for a long time, like, that's not going to be you by the end of this journey. Like, so enjoy the fact that you don't have to, like, you can be kinder to yourself because you're not good.
And also, it's not like
you're going on stage.
Yeah, and you're not going to, like, a class where everyone is, like, necessarily super being there to show off. You're going to have fun.
You're going to have fun. So if you've got to allow yourself to have fun. So we always tell people that. I'm like, just enjoy the process of, like, learning. Stop trying to go from, like, A to Z. Like, it's just not necessary.
And just wear a baggy t-shirt
t-shirt, put your hair up, have it out, do some makeup. Like, feel more like you're giving it, and then you feel good anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
Right.
Tell me about your dance journey then. You've had a bit of it. You had a wild life.
I had a mad life. So
okay, so in short, give us the bullet points.
Okay, so bullet points. I didn't actually start dancing until, like, I was 20. And that's just, like, actually moving, like, at all. Like, because I didn't go out clubbing or anything. And I went out clubbing, and I got scouted at a club to dance there, and they asked me if I was a dancer, and I just lied. I'm such a Gemini, so I just say yes to things anyway and then deal with it later. And then they put me on the stage, I started dancing, and then I was rubbish, but I had the audacity to be there. I was like, I don't care. And then from then I got scouted again by an agency, and then they put me on their books, and then I become a dancer, and I was again telling people, yeah, I'm a dancer. Then one day I was meant to do a big show, and I went to Pineapple and just learned choreo, and I was rubbish, but I got one count of eight and I loved it, and so I carried on doing it. And then from then I started dancing at Shoreditch House. I just kept saying, oh, I'm a dancer,
mate. You were, though. Yeah, like, I know that you're saying that you were rubbish, but then like that obviously means that you've like set yourself a level that you might not have been that level but you're obviously good.
I was like, in my head, I was like, I want to be like that, but I was still good, and I was really good at like getting people moving. So once I got to Shoreditch House, that's when I started to dance more and more and more with my friends, and then got involved in teaching more and being in videos and stuff and whatever, and then got into choreography, and then met people. That place was the best.
I think you are literally just the epitome of like fake it till you make it.
Yeah literally. And then that's how I got into it, and I met clients at my company, so it made me do more.
So tell me then, you are a Nike trainer.
Yeah.
So this is what I mean. He's gone from saying, I have no expertise in any of this, to now I'm like, I went, I like your cap. And he's like, well, I can get you my bag. I was like, what the fuck? How long have you been a Nike trainer for?
Well, I've been doing it for like 5 years now. Yeah, so basically...
And they keep renewing your contract, honey.
Yeah. Well, now I've got a contract for the next 3 years. So it's like, I don't know. If they go, I'm like, I always feel like I just like do what I'm supposed to do outside. So if I'm doing what I'm doing outside, if it resonates with the brand, like with them inside, then I don't need to do anything. I just be myself. And that works. But I've been doing it for 5 years. Next year's the 6th year. Oh my God, it's so long. I don't really know, you know. I feel like I've been there forever. But I've been doing that with them. And
so are you on their app?
Yeah.
Teaching
dance. And fitness as well. So like, because once I joined with them, I wasn't a PT or anything. I didn't have a qualification. And then they were like, we're going to help you get a qualification. So then they did it like in a month, and then I become a PT as well. So I knew stuff, so I could add that to my classes more. So on the app.
I was going to say that. So did that then encourage you to be a little bit more, rather than just being dance, focus more on the fitness side of things?
Yeah, it made me like realise like there's so much more about the body that I know from being a dancer, and I can help people understand, because I'm coming from a place of like, oh, I could just do it, and I can show them that actually move you like this, da, 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 do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, that is literally it with you. You've always been able to do it, but not really known how. You're just I can just do it.
I'm
like an anomaly.
It's just me.
But now you can actually demonstrate and like talk people through it.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I got into that.
So speaking of which then, now that you are a like trainer and you know, you've gone from strength to strength, do you feel like body image has like become more of a thing?
Yeah, like I used to be, back in the day when I was dancing with you, I was like a little skinny little bitch. Like, I was like giving...
never were.
Yeah, I was never like skinny or anything, but I never cared about being like, I've got to have like muscles.
I've seen your ass now, though.
I know, but that's just natural. That's just... Brazilian genetics, yeah. People think I'm doing stuff in the gym. I'm not. I'm just taking a picture. Like, that's it, yeah. Like,
hate you.
I know. Like, but I did start feeling like I've got a... Body image is really, like, heavy on people. Like, and it can... That's why I like strength as well. Like, you always talk about stuff like that, like people being strong.
Mm.
Like, and I'm always telling people, like, stop trying to be skinny, just be strong. Then you'll be happy. Like, when you can lift things and move things better than someone else just because I'm skinny, you'll realise that it doesn't matter about the body being, like, perfect in the way, in the image of what other people say.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we've just been saying with Emily. You wouldn't have heard it because you were on your way in. But the difference now between when I started out my fitness journey back in the day, I was just on the treadmill running to be skinny, to lose weight.
Yeah.
Whereas now... strength training, I do still cardio, like I do running, and I still, you know, do my classes and things like that, but the strength side of things actually does feel better in myself rather than just, but also when I do see dancers on my Instagram, or like when I have done the odd dance class, that also gives me the same kind of buzz.
Because like, it's like this, it's uplifting, because you're not I feel like when I go to the gym, I'm always like, usually I hate it, I'm like, ugh, the gym, but then when you start doing it, I'm like, I actually enjoy this feeling of like a power, like a superhero.
Yeah.
And they get the same thing from dance. You feel like this power of like, oh, who's going to stop me? Who's going to check me, boo? Like,
I think it's all about environments as well. Like, you definitely create the environment where people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, as I said, when I trained with you, like, you're obviously so amazing. And I was like, oh, I can't retain this choreography, but you made me feel confident enough to be able to do it. So... advice then, for those of us that aren't like just naturally gifted like you.
Oh my God, let's see.
So advice to young dancers.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say young, I don't even mean like
18-year-old, 16-year-old.
No, you mean
young as in a beginner dancer.
Ah, yeah, okay.
What would be the advice that you would give them to just get into it?
Yeah, and also stop, no one's looking at you. Mm. That's the main thing I tell people when they come to, if you're going to class specifically, stop, like, where you got this idea that when you go to class, everyone's looking at you. Like, they're looking at themselves and the teacher. Yeah. They do not care about you in a way, not in a negative way, but in a way of, like, everyone is focused on how they look, yeah, and how the teacher looks and trying to try to look the same. So you can just let go of this idea of everyone's watching you be rubbish, yeah? No one, if you have enjoy, let yourself enjoy. And also, the main thing is that you pay to be there. Mm. So I'm not going to McDonald's and then being like, I hate this food. I'm going to try and enjoy it, yeah, because I just paid for it. Do you know what I mean? Even if I don't like it. But people come to class and they're like scared to allow themselves to be. Mm. Like, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to go in there being like, I've got to be the best dancer. Like, have some grace with yourself and just stop worrying about it. You're not, you're trying to create joy and not create anxiety.
Yeah, I love that. And also, do you not find that, I think, everything just comes with consistency.
100%,
it's the same as like strength training. Yeah. Like going to your classes, like maybe the first time might be a little bit like, oh God, this is a new thing. But the more you go to them, you'd be like, fuck this, I am Beyonce.
Yeah, exactly. Consistency is key. If you don't work hard at anything, if I like trying to go to the bus and I need to get there really quickly and I'm walking, of course it's going to take me much longer, you know, so, but I'm still going to get there, you know what I mean? So I always tell people, like, just take the journey, enjoy. I love it when I'm rubbish at something, when I'm shit at something, because I'm like, oh my God, wait until I'm good, bitch. And then you people are going to be like, you've been doing this forever. And I'm like, no, just a week. Like, and I get to enjoy that feeling of, yeah, I know, everyone thinks I'm amazing. Like,
that's why you don't sleep until 3 a.m. Yeah, because you're fucking practicing.
Everything. I'm trying to figure out all the cheat codes for everything, and then in the morning be like, I already knew.
Yeah, like, how did you get so good so quickly? I don't sleep.
Yeah, literally. So no, I always, that's some advice that I say to people, like, stop worrying about stuff, let yourself have fun, and stay in spaces and areas that feel good to you. If it's not good, get out. Stop giving money to like charlatans and people like that, and like bullshitters and stuff, like, just because everybody else is doing it. Like, you don't have to. If you don't feel good, like, fuck off then. Just don't do it.
Exactly. And also, if you actually just can't be arsed, then, like, just don't do it. When you can,
do it. Yeah. You don't have to be like, oh, if I quit, people are going to say that I'm a quitter. Yeah, you are a quitter. You could be a quitter. Like, you don't have, like, if you're a quitter today and then tomorrow you start doing it, and that's you. Like, you don't have to be like, I'm just not going to quit. And then to the detriment of your health and your mental health.
Yeah, I know.
So that's not worth it.
It's true. So how many classes do you currently teach at the moment?
Me, I do 4 classes a week. Really, I shouldn't.
Where are they, by the way?
All in Tom Court Road at Your Beat, where we have it, the studio. So I only teach there. We only have classes there. We do have other ones in, like, Soho House, and we do for, like, Google and places like that, but that's in there, in-house.
Ooh, the corporate world. Oh, yeah. What, you have, like, corporate people? Oh, yeah, do they come in their baggy T-shirts and do dances?
They do. They come in, they're the ones that come in the yoga pants, babes, and I'm like, you need to, somebody needs to have a word.
Should have on the door, no yoga pants allowed. Then people, like, will come with no pants on.
No yoga pants, yeah. Just come as, like, just like going out clubbing, but... Yeah, the corporate world is where we do that stuff as well. And we have people who, like, pay for corporate members from their companies to come to classes, and we just have an amount of slots for them. So they just come and be like, hi, I'm from Deloitte. And then they come and they do the class. I don't know why they swear like that, but they come and they're like, oh, and they just do their class like that. So it's
amazing. Like, knowing, well, even from the 5 years ago that I saw you last, like, the growth that's been...
Because I had a studio in New York and everything as well. Like,
and you know what I've loved about this conversation? Like, even though obviously you have, you know, ambition or whatever, but the main thing I've taken from this about you is that you actually just, like, do what you're good at on the outside, and, like, just be you and, like, push yourself. Because as you said, you're up till 3 a.m. watching anime / dancing. But, like, you know, if you are true to, like, what you... yourself and like what you want to do and bettering yourself, then everything else will follow.
Literally, I'm just like, I don't see why people are really, but that's the same for you as well, bitch. Like, I see what you're doing as well. Like, from you had a moment in your stuff, you're like, fuck this shit, now I'm not doing that anymore, I'm gonna do Gabby. Yeah, and from that, look, the elevation just happens. You know what I mean, though? Like, we're literally from the same place, we're from the same shop. We came out of the same shop. We were both the chomp bars, yeah? The cheap ones, you know, from Ranaway, whatever. Like, and then we came out, and now look.
Look at us, baby. Now look,
straight away, going
chomp
straight
bars?
In. Yeah, you know.
Haven't really, had one of them in ages.
I know, right? They used to be 10p, but they're probably like 10 quid now. Like, with inflation. But we just grow, because you just be yourself. You don't worry about nothing. I've got no time to give to care about other things, of like, as in, like, trying to be something else. And when you do that, people gravitate towards you, because they're like, this person actually really cares about me. And they know my name. They check in with me, but they don't have to, and they choose to do it. So I always try to tell dancers and people in the fitness industry in general, try to be that way with people for real, and then the brands will see you and the stuff will see you because they see that you're authentic
and care, they actually care.
And they're we want our customers to feel that, so we're coming to you to give it to them. So that's what
you definitely do that. You're amazing. Thank you so much for coming in.
No, it was lovely.
Ahead of your late wake up call.
I know, I'm going to wake up now. I'm actually going to go back to sleep.
Love it. I love you, babes. It's so great to see you. And I'll be coming into Tottenham Court Road.
Yeah, I need to see it.
I'll come back. Don't laugh at my choreography skills though. Goodbye. After this break, I'll be joined by Jamie Keeble, founder of Hex Sausages.
Food Bar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you, what's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, I got you, mate? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Jill Gerardson, my SIS sister. That's when I thought shit's got real.
Well, I got out, didn't I, with my little earmuffs on and my scarf. And they didn't show that either because obviously I can't put everything in. But he looks at me and he goes, what the fuck are those? And he grabbed my earmuffs and he threw them across the New Zealand landscape. I thought, that's a fucking liberty. £3 from Sheen, they were. I was still in my Sheen Queen era.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald.
What would you be advising the Labour leadership to do at this point?
My view is just apologise. I went to the theatre last night. I'm with my wife and family, and as I'm walking, a bloke says very loudly, John McDonnell, has he paid for his tickets? I went back to the bloke, said, yeah, I did pay for my tickets, and I always do. What that whole ticketing thing and all the free gifts thing doesn't just damage those individuals, it damages us all, because they all think, oh, they're all the same, and we're not.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more from Gabby. This is What The Health.
Hello, guys. We are now back. And joining me is Jamie Keeble, founder of Hex Sausages. Hello, Jamie.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Very welcome.
We also have your friends, don't we? We have... had to write it down because my memory is terrible. We have Paul and Richie. Hello, guys. Okay, so first of all, I've been eating Hex sausages this week because they are banging. And also, you're working on this kahunas. Is that how I say it?
Kahunas.
Kahunas. So, sorry, I'm not very cultured, am I? Tell us about this kahunas thing then, first and foremost, please.
Yeah, sure. So for this month, we are raising awareness for men's health. And we are teaming up with Kahunas, who are based up in Scotland. And they're a charity raising awareness for Tesco Cancer. We got in touch actually this time last year when they invited me up to do their podcast, which went very, very well. We've stayed in touch. And this year for November, we thought we should do something. And because I've just had a a daughter this year as well, I think it's even more important to raise awareness, especially for young men, to get checked regularly. Because once you get checked regularly and you detect your cancer early, you can live a very happy, normal life. And that's simply the message on our packs of sausages. So for November, we've changed HEC to CHECK, and it's just raising awareness for the charity.
Yeah, I love it. I had my little parcels delivered to me last week, and my diet was basically just HEC sausages all last week, and they are banging. So well done you. Okay, so can you start by sharing your personal journey then with testicular cancer and how it's shaped your perspective on this?
Yeah, sure, I'll start. I got diagnosed when I was 25. So quite a young man still. I've never had any sort of dealing with illness before. And out of the blue, I came home from playing five-side football. I was getting changed, chucking my clothes into the laundry machine, and just randomly felt a lump. So immediately terrified. Straight away when something's not right. My lump was still quite small, probably like the size of a 5p coin. And the very next day, I rang my GP, and I was in there the next morning getting checked. After that, they basically thought nothing to be too worried about. You know, it could be a cyst or a number of things. But I think deep inside, I knew something wasn't quite right, and did a few more tests. And it eventually came out that I did have testicular cancer, and I had to have my right testicle removed. So this happened very, very quickly over the space of 2 weeks. And one dose of chemotherapy as a precautionary note in case it might have spread. And then with about a month, I was kind of back on my feet again. But that's a period of my life, you know, really, really scared, really fearful for my life. I didn't want to be the guy on the back of cigarette packs, you know, in the hospital, really, really ill. That was my biggest worry, really. And of course, you have all sorts of question marks about fertility. Will I ever be able to have a family again? So very scary stuff. But luckily, I got checked very, very early. I have one testicle. I now have a family and a beautiful baby girl.
Yay!
That wouldn't be possible unless I got checked early. So, and that's when these guys got in touch with me. So if you want to tell about yours.
That is amazing. First of all, well done you for getting checked straight away. Like, I think, you know, especially within men's health, men tend to be a little bit more reserved when it comes to taking themselves to the doctors. What I found, just even from personal experience, you know, across the board of men that I know. So, you know, you are a really good representation of guys. Just go. Like, you know, you have nothing to prove. Just freaking get yourself there. And, like, look at you now. You've got a baby. You're thriving. You've got a great life ahead. And, you know, if you don't check too soon, then that wouldn't be happen for you. So, well done. I'm really happy for you. Thank you. Okay, so then that's where the collaboration with HEC came in. So tell me about this collaboration then. How did you meet each other? Tell us.
Yeah, so Richie had, seen Jamie's story online, and we've got our own podcast called Check 1-2, because I'm a testicular cancer survivor myself, and I actually found my lump because of the self-check guide that Richie had put out there in the world. So I always credit Richie and Cojones for saving my life. You know, and like Jamie, you know, went on to have a beautiful family after my testicular cancer diagnosis as well. So we're two positive stories. So when Jamie came up to be on the podcast, we had a really great conversation, you know, and his wife was up with us as well, and we were just like kind of a good conversation around what HEC and Cojones can do together, and that's kind of where, you know, the collaboration started, really.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Well done you as well. Jamie's saving lives, baby.
And you know, because these guys in Baltimore, we had a great chat, and because November is the month to sort of raise awareness for men's health in general, not just testicular cancer but all sorts of things. So yeah, this is why we've gone to do the check this year on PAC, and we want to make this even bigger and better next year, so we can see this partnership lasting a very long time. And if we can just get, you know, one person to get themselves checked, you know, that means the world to us. So yeah, it's really, really important, and we're very passionate about it.
Yeah.
I love how well Heck and Check has gone together, though. Like, you couldn't write that, could you? Like, that is just, like, it was given to you on a plate. Literally. Yeah. Aha, no pun intended. So with this campaign, then, what happens? So someone buys some Heck sausages, and then does that money go towards the charity?
Yes, absolutely. So we had a target in mind to raise £20,000 for the charity. And this really goes to the guys and all the work they're doing. They're spreading awareness about the disease. They're going into businesses, schools, sports clubs, you name it, really raising awareness, which is a fantastic piece of work, what they're doing. So I could be more happier to support them in what they've done. And, you know, I'm really passionate about the message. And, you know, we're positive stories, but it's also, they also offer support for people who aren't as lucky as we are in terms of fertility as well. So, you know, it's more to it than just getting checked. It's really sort of the support group that they can do behind it as well, which is really good.
And is that, can I ask for then, so is testicular, I can't even say the word, testicular. That's don't say it often. Is it are the stats quite high then? Is it quite common in young men?
Testicular cancer is the more common cancer in young men, so that's kind of in the 15 to 49 age range. It's approximately 2,400 cases a year. And then,
wow.
But yeah, you've been talking about the fundraising that element coming from it. But I think Heck being so kind as to rebrand to Check, the fact that, you know, the message is getting out there and it's creating more conversations, as you said yourself, you know, with men being the way they are and kind of not talking and bowing their heads in the sand, you know, being a nationwide product that's out there, this is really presented, you know, an opportunity to have more discourse and to talk more and for folk to, you know, be aware of, mm-hmm. of these kind of things. Yeah,
and the fact that, like, going into schools, I think is so important, because that is realistically where our kind of mindset in how we approach situations is born. You know, you might evolve as you get older, but realistically in school, if you can kind of promote that confidence in young people to, you know, not be ashamed of mental health or actual physical health, things like that, from an earlier age, it might like promote them as they get older to be a bit more on it, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that we want to prevent it, really, in terms of catching it early. And that's the message that we really want to talk about in the collaboration, is to get checked. So we know you can live a completely normal, happy life with just one testicle. You know, we're lucky that, you know, God designed us for two, I suppose. But no, that's the simple message. You can live a normal life, you catch it early, and you just don't have to be scared. I come to speaking to a mutual friend out when I was out in town one night, and after hearing my story and going quite public with it in terms of the press, it sort of gave him the confidence to go get checked. And fortunately, he only had a cyst on his testicle, but he was really scared about it for months and too scared to do anything about it and get checked, really. So if we can just help one person just to go and get checked out, it's all worth doing.
100%. But I mean, like, look, like, you're one person that's helped your friend. You're like, you know, you've all, even if just one person helps the next person, then that person helps the next person. It's all like kind of, you know, we're all just encouraging and making each other more confident along the way. It's like a domino effect, right? So amazing work, guys. I'm really, really happy that you're doing this. Can you tell us where we can buy these Czech sausages then?
Yeah, so we've changed our Chicken Italia pack to Czech. So it's in all major supermarkets, so you should be able to see them in the sausages category. And you can't miss them. You know, bright packaging, so you'll be able to see them.
And guys, as I've said, I'm going to share something about this on my story later to, like, coincide with this. They are so good. They are absolutely banging. It says that you should cook them in the oven, but I actually do like them pan-fried, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, we need to change that. It should be pan-fried.
Pan-fried is better than the oven. Come on, get a bit of grease in there as well. Thank you so much, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. As I said, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing amazing work. And I'm so happy that both of you are beautiful and healthy and you've got your kids and all that jazz.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Speak to you soon. Bye. So, guys, you've got to go and try Heck sausages. They are so, so good. Literally on their own, dipped in a bit of ketchup. Pff, banging. Get yourself with some of them. And then you're also supporting the cause as well. Right, moving on then to listener questions. So, Mona asks, how often should I be resting between sets? Is there a set time I should be aiming for? Listen, Mona hon, it really does just depend on what workout you're doing. Because, like, I can't say to you, you need to rest 60 seconds, but then your actual working time doesn't warrant that. Like, it depends what you're trying to get out of it. So, first of all, big, heavy compound exercises such as, like, hip thrusts or squats or exercises that you're going for strength, so you're working with progressive overloads and you're probably working in the lower rep range, you would probably need a longer rest, as you need longer for your muscles to recover, to repair and get the blood, the oxygen back in there to go again. So you'll find that, say if I'm doing hip thrusts and I give myself a 1 minute rest, I won't be able to lift anywhere near as heavy as I would do if I was giving myself up to a 3 minute rest in between sets. I've hit PBs by giving myself longer rest periods. But that being said, for example, right now I'm working with a PT, aren't I? Coach Brito kills me off. And my goal isn't necessarily to get stronger at the moment, but it's to get more definition and expose the current muscle mass that I already have. So therefore, I'm taking a bit of a different approach and going for higher rep volume, lower weight and less rest time. And it therefore increases the intensity of the workout, making it more cardiovascular as well. So there's more of the fat burning element in there too. So it really just depends. As a general rule, given advice from afar, I would suggest doing, if you're working in the hypertrophy range of 8 to 12 for 3 to 4 sets, about 60 to 90 seconds between them will be fine. Okay, so Janine says, is there a reason my upper body doesn't progress as much as my lower body? Historically, women do tend to be stronger in their lower bodies, and we also do have a disadvantage when it comes to getting stronger as quick as men because we have less testosterone. So if I was to suggest how to build your upper body strength more than your legs, go for like a push pull. So you do one push a week, one pull a week, one legs a week, and following a solid plan over a given amount of time, as always, progressive overload, patience and consistency, that will help. Make sure that when you're lifting weights with your upper body, you're not just choosing the same ones that you use every single week, week in, week out. Choose weights that challenge you. You know, you're not going to turn into bloody Popeye or The Rock overnight by lifting a bit heavier weights. You are just going to encourage your muscles to grow. As I've just said about the rest time, the more weight you lift, the more rest you're going to have. But it's also because your body needs that time to like grow the muscles and repair the muscles and get big and strong. So challenge yourself and be consistent and just bear with, because it will happen. I reckon I'm hench on top now. I actually like build my upper body quicker than my legs, which is really fucking annoying. Like Joelle was saying before, that his booty is just there. Like imagine that being your life. Okay, and lastly, Amber says, what are the top exercises for strengthening your core? So you'll see on Instagram, I'm also culprit to it myself. People will be like, best core exercises, do 20 ab crunches and then, you know, some ab bicycles. Yes, they will obviously complement your core strength, and the transverse abdominis will be working, and, you know, your obliques will be working, everything will be working together. However, the best way to strengthen your core is through compound lifts. So once again, like the squats or the deadlifts, things like that utilize that strength around wrapping those muscles around your spine. That is what the core is. It's like deep, deep, deep. Think about as an apple, like that middle bit that just doesn't taste nice. It's got the pips in it. That is your core, right in the center. So you want to be using like big compound exercises that need to use that to get stronger, and then the other like accessories like ab crunches and things like that will just complement it. So compound moves and then little ab things to, you know, put the icing on the cake on top. Okay, well, what a show. I've had two of my friends in, which was great to talk to them. Joelle's energy was amazing. Emily is just gorgeous and inspiring, makes me want to go and lift heavy weights in the gym now. And yeah, guys, once again, get your Hex sausages in your weekly order this week. Next week, we have another amazing show. Make sure in the meantime, if you've missed any of our shows, we are on Instagram at What The Health Show. You'll see a picture of my face on there. Lucky you. It is pink, which is used to be my favourite colour, but now it's blue. And yeah, you will see us on there. Follow up on any of the shows. Send us in any of your listener questions if you want to ask anything like we've just answered here. And we will see you then. Oh, also, guys, over the Christmas period, I said this on my Instagram yesterday. I just want to say quickly, people are like, oh, I'm not going to the gym now. Like, it's only 7 weeks until Christmas. Guys, that's 13% of the year. 13% of the year that you're just automatically thrown down the drain. So come on, stick with us. Come join me in the show every Tuesday. Let's keep our health on track. Yeah, you can have a good time, but think about 2025 is going to be new year, better you. Not new you, because we're going to be smashing it until then. I'll see you then.